Luke 14:16, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. The Lord said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And this morning we're going to preach this message entitled The Last Roundup. The Last Roundup. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this Sunday. And it's always nice from time to time to have guests and something special. Lord, it's just good to be in your house. Lord, I pray that as we progress through the message, Lord, that your presence would be felt in a very real way in our lives as the Word of God is preached. If there be anyone here today without Jesus as their Savior, I pray, Lord, that they would feel the presence, Lord, of your love and your convicting power, your wooing, your drawing. And Lord, I pray that they would respond to that this morning, to a loving God who has paid the ultimate price and died for them and wants to just save them this morning. I pray that would happen. For those of us that are saved, Lord, we need instruction and challenge. Sometimes, Lord, we need to refocus. We've got to make sure, Lord, at all times that we line up with the Scripture. So teach us, Lord. I pray there wouldn't be one Christian, whether they've been saved 2 days, 2 years, or 20 years, would not have their heart open this morning, knowing that God wants to speak to them and teach them something. So I pray that you would use the message this morning, Lord, please, to benefit all of us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. The last roundup. The last roundup. You know, one of these days there's going to be a last roundup. We have declared this Roundup Sunday. We brought the Walker family in. I've called them over a year ago. And got them on the calendar, and wanted them to come in. I appreciate Brother Kevin Walker. He puts a lot of work into reaching people for Jesus Christ. A lot of folks just come in, and there's nothing wrong with this, evangelists. And they basically come in and want a nice place to stay and want to know when they're supposed to preach. And from the time they've driven in Friday night, those folks have worked hard. They've set things up. They've gone out soul winning and visiting. And they've got a desire to see people saved. I guarantee you, that whole family ticks with the heartbeat of seeing people saved. And appreciate them. But I got to know a little bit about his ministry. And we decided we were going to have an old-fashioned day today. And I said, well, if we got the Walkers in, we've got to have a Roundup Sunday. And you know what? God's commanded us to round them up. God's commanded us to round them up. Their music, I appreciate it. It reminds me of my brief music career in Christian music, and it was very brief. It started when we were saved at Rock Run Baptist Church, and my mom and dad, bless their hearts, did their best to organize us into a singing group. And I don't know if it lasted very long, but we were pretty good. I do remember that. Of course, a little American Baptist church, and we got saved, didn't know a whole lot. So when the preacher asked us to sing the first time, we got up and sang, put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. You know, that's where we started right there. And then we moved on up, got a little more spiritual, and sang songs like, I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little life from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Yeah. We had our start. We looked into buying a bus, realized we couldn't afford it. And then one of the songs that my parents had us sing, and it's amazing. Isn't it amazing what you learn as a child? And you can remember the name, words to it. I can't remember much else, but I can remember the words to these songs. And one of them was called A Christian Cowboy. And I don't remember all the words to the verses, but the chorus went, I'll be a cowboy, a Christian cowboy. I'll work for Jesus all the day. Or in the city or in the prairie, I'll help him round up all the strays. And you know what? I love that song, and I love to sing it. Because all my life, I wanted to be a cowboy. I did, especially as a boy. I wanted to be a cowboy. And I'd run around with guns tied on, like I see little Malachi with his cowboy boots clomping around. And I'm going to do something I've been wanting to do my whole ministry, and that's I'm going to preach in a cowboy hat this morning. Yes, I am. I guess. Yes, I am. I'm going to preach. You say, you're not going to leave that on. Oh, yes, I am. Scott, I'm not going to. Yeah, just scowl all you want. You're just making me happier now. I'm definitely leaving it on. So. My whole life, Tom Williams spent his whole career preaching in a cowboy hat. I've never got to. People like Brother Kevin come there preaching in a cowboy. I never got to. So put that camera phone down. What are you doing back there? I seen that. What in the world? All right, I know what this is about, how much you want. The last roundup. You know what? Let me give you 2 points to the message this morning. Number one is the Lord's roundup. Let me talk to you about the Lord's roundup. Then we're going to talk about the last roundup. We're going to stay mostly in Luke chapter number 14, or Luke in the book of Luke, and we're going to begin in Luke chapter number 14. Do you know, folks, whether or not, young people, you wear a cowboy hat or cowboy boots, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be in the Lord's roundup? You know, the Lord initiated a roundup. And this is what he said in this parable here. He told a story about a man that made a great supper. And the Bible says he bade or invited many. And you know what? As the servant went out to deliver the invitations, verse number 18 says, and they all with one consent begin to make excuse. Now we get into harvest days and we encourage our people to go out and invite. And I think everyone that's been actively involved in that could testify about this. They would say the same thing. They say, Brother Jerry, you know what? I've invited a lot of people, but the Bible's true. It seems like everybody's got an excuse. It seems like everybody's got a reason why church isn't for them or why they can't come this particular Sunday. I love this when you invite them to church because I like to put them right on the spot. I say, not will you come sometime, but will you be there this Sunday morning? And you know what the famous answer is? I'll try. I'll try. Now, folks, let me tell you what that means. No. And then they'll say things like this. Well, I hate to promise. I don't like to promise because something come up. No, the honest truth is they're just making excuses. Already in their mind, they're trying to come up with reasons why they shouldn't have to go to church. This isn't just started in our generation, folks. This goes all the way back to the very beginning where Jesus Christ taught this and said, folks, listen to me. If you get involved in the Lord's roundup, you're going to meet a lot of people that have a lot of excuses. You know, any excuse not to come to church and get saved is a foolish excuse. Any excuse not to come to church and get saved is a foolish excuse. Now, I know sometimes people have legitimate reasons for not being able to attend the house of God, but more times than not, it's just a silly excuse. And all excuses are silly. This one man said, the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Now you tell me that's not silly, that's not foolish. This guy said, I bought a piece of property, now I got to go see it. Now how many in here would go and buy? That's a major purchase, that's a huge expense. And this man said, I went and bought a piece of property, now I'm going to go look at it and see what I got. That, you know what? That's a silly excuse. Another man said this, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. I have bought, that's past tense, this 5 yoke of oxen, and now I'm going to go try them out to see if they work. Now, that's like calling up the dealership and making a deal for a car over the phone without ever seeing it or driving it, and then say, okay, it's a done deal, I'll transfer the money, now I'm going to go look at the car that I bought. Nobody in here with any sense would do that. You know what they were given here? They were saying, they were given excuses, but they were foolish, silly excuses. Verse 20 says, and another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. I've always said this. I'm glad that they didn't give the same reason. I married a wife and now I got to go see her. You know, I've got to go see what she looks like. Some people use that work as an excuse. Some people use possessions and pleasures as an excuse. Some people use family as an excuse. But it's all silly, because anything that's keeping you from the house of God and keeping you from participating in that great supper that's going to happen in heaven one day is a foolish excuse. Are you with me? And then the Bible goes on to say that that made the Lord very angry. When the servant came back and said, all these people are making excuses, you know what? The Lord wasn't pleased about that. He got angry about that. I think when God listens down from heaven and listens to mankind make excuses why they won't bend their knee to the Son of God, I think it makes the Lord angry. I think when people mock and laugh at church, I think it makes the Lord angry. I think when people shrug their shoulders as if it's no big deal to go week after week, month after month, and never darken the doors of God's house, I think it makes the Lord angry. You see, listen to me. I don't care what the status quo is doing. Let me tell you this. If you're faithful to church, and you're trying to live for God, and you're doing right, you're pleasing the Lord. And if you're not, you're not pleasing the Lord. But this master said this. He said, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the blind and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And so there it is, his command. He's instructed all of us, every Christian, to be involved in the Lord's roundup. He says, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. By the way, that word compel is a very strong word there. That means plead with them to come in. That means accost them. And I mean, it's everything short of force. Do everything you can to try to get them to come to the house of God. Why? Because the stakes are high, folks. You see, we got to understand that it's our job to round them up. We can't join the great masses of churches that have fallen for this lie that, you know what, you just show up on Sunday and you kind of keep an eye on the back door, and maybe somebody once or twice a year may wander in and get saved. That's not what the Bible commands us to do. The Lord says, go out into the highways and compel them to come in. Go out in the hedges and compel them to come in. Hey, you know what? There's lost souls out there. Go round them up. There's lost souls. Go round them up. Some of them are stuck in briar patches. Go round them up. Some of them are lost. They don't know which way to go. Let's go round them up. And in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, we see the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. His command and by his example. Boy, if we had time this morning, I could take you to story after story in the book of Luke and in other books of the Gospels that shows where Jesus put his money where his mouth is. He didn't just say to his disciples, go out and find lost souls. Jesus traversed all over, everywhere, town to town, city to city, village to village. He found them at a well. He found them up a tree. He found them by the roadside begging. Listen, everywhere he found somebody, he tried to bring them unto himself. By his command and by his example, he showed us that we ought to be involved in the Lord's roundup. Now, I know that I'm preaching to folks that for the most part know this and understand this, but you know what? We still need to say it from time to time from the pulpit here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We need to understand, folks, that we're involved in a roundup, and this is the Lord's roundup. And we ought to be busy going out and trying to get people into the house of God. To bring people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is very important. Now let me, since we're right there, have you go to Luke chapter number 15, if you will. Luke chapter number 15. And the Lord says this, hey, I've got a roundup going. I want every Christian involved. He's commanded us to be involved. Go out into the highways and hedges and compelled them to come in. His example showed us to be involved in the roundup, because he was rounding them up for the whole 3 years he was in the ministry. And then he encourages us here in Luke chapter 15 not to lose the focus on the roundup. The focus on the roundup. Look at verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. You know what? I wish that was true this morning. I wish that in this building Folks, I love preaching to saved people, but I like preaching to lost people. I wish for every saved person there was a lost person here this morning. I wish it wasn't just saved people that would come in to hear the preaching, but it'd be lost people to come in and hear the preaching. And Jesus went after sinners. Jesus went after the publicans. Those are the people that drew near to hear him. You know why? Because that's who he came to seek and to save. He targeted them. He went after them. He put an effort to reach them. Notice verse 2. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured. There's that word, murmur. Pastor Ross used to say, murmur, 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 murmur. That's baby talk. Murmur, murmur, murmur. The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now the Pharisees and scribes had a problem. You see, they were jealous. They thought Jesus Christ ought to spend all the time with them. I mean, they were the religious elite. They were the ones that were holding together the religious organization. They were the religious leaders. Why doesn't Jesus come and spend time with us? Why didn't he sit down and discuss theology with us? Why is it that we can't even get an appointment with him? Why is he always spending all this time with these sinners and publicans? And they were jealous and they were envious and they got bitter and they started murmuring. And murmuring and trying to spread problems and discord. Now notice verse number 3. The Bible says this. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them? Watch this. If he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now listen to me, folks. I didn't write that. That's in the Word of God. Those are the very words of Jesus Christ. We've got to be very careful that we don't lose our focus here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, I'm going to preach to lost people in just a moment, but I'm preaching to Christians now. Point number one, the Lord's roundup, that's a point for Christians. The last roundup is a challenge to the lost. But let me tell you this, we cannot lose our focus here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You say, Brother Jerry, did you see this parable? Did Jesus really mean this? I think he did. What he was saying here to the Pharisees and scribes in response to their murmuring because he wasn't spending enough time with them, it was out after lost sinners, was this. Hey, if you got 100 sheep and one of them is lost, you know, he said, do you not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost till he find it? Now listen, I listen to Lester Roloff on the radio. How many of you get to hear Brother Roloff from time to time? You catch his program. He was on this the other day, not at this exact verse, but he said this on the radio, and I said, amen, Brother Roloff. But he said this. He said, you know, every once in a while I get somebody that wants to come to me, a Christian, and they'll say, Brother Roloff, when are you going to come by the house and drink some iced tea on the porch with us? Brother Roloff, when are you going to come visit with us? When are you going to come socialize with us? And he said, I always tell them the same thing. Never. Never. If I've got a little time, I'm going to go after lost sinners. Now, you can agree with that or not agree with that, but I will tell you this. I think based on the scripture we're looking at today, that it needs to be the primary concern of each and every one of us is about finding the lost one, not fellowshipping with the 99 found. Are you listening to me? And I know in this generation where we've been so brainwashed into believing that the church is just another social organization. I mean, you know what? The preacher's job is to go around and keep all of the congregation happy. You're supposed to go house to house and door to door and sip tea and pat hands and pass out pacifiers and listen to problems and burp babies and all of this stuff. Well, let me just say this, folks. Why don't we just grow up a little bit? Hey, there's lost people out there. There's lost people out there. I mean, a church begins to look inside and focus on itself, then that church is in trouble. Jesus says, listen, lift your eyes up and look upon the fields. They're white even unto harvest. And what we ought to be involved in is this matter of finding the lost one, recovering the lost one, winning the lost one. Hey, you know what? The Bible doesn't say here that God's rejoicing over the 99 that are already there, even though I'm glad he's there. He's the heaven, and God rejoices over the one that has come and has gotten right with God and has gotten saved. Now, let's keep our focus on that, church. Are you listening to me? Let's keep our focus on that. Last week, I had a good time last Sunday. I have a good time most every Sunday. I like coming to church here. I do. And we had the Friends and Family Day, and God blessed us in just a special way. You know, we planned some things around. Sometimes things work, sometimes things kind of work. And man, we had a lot of visitors last week, and I got to be in the homes of most of those visitors this week. But I just enjoyed walking around. And me and Tabby went out and did some visiting. I went, actually last week, several times went visiting, but me and Tabby went out and did some visiting. And there was a couple of adults from her bus route that came. And when you look at somebody walking the door that you invited, you can't help but get a big smile on your face. And then also, we were out there with her, and I was helping her do her bus visiting. We went by, and there was a bunch of kids out in the middle of a yard there. And I said, you know who those kids are? And she said, no. And I said, well, let's go talk to them. And so we went and said hi, and we went to the house and met the parents and got permission. And you know what? Those three little kids came for the first time, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Hey, you know what? I still get excited about that. I was able to say, Bro Jerry, what were you out there doing afterwards? I was watching to see which one of those kids was going to fall off that big dirt pile is what I was mostly doing out there. But you know what I was out there doing? I was out there saying hi to the kids and looking around. And I seen those three kids, and they come running over. And, hey, did you have a good time? Oh, yeah. Are you going to come back next week? Oh, yeah. Amen. Amen. They're back here this week. You know what? 3 weeks ago, they weren't in church. 4 weeks ago, they weren't in church. 5 weeks ago, they weren't in church. They were one of the ones out there that was lost. Are you listening to me? Now, I also, folks, have gone by and seen sick people this week. I've made hospital calls this week. I've went and sat with a widow this week, and I try to do what I can. But let me tell you something. We can't lose the focus. And the focus is lost souls. Now, listen, let me say this. I want to just help you with this. A shepherd that's out busy looking for the lost sheep ought to be a shepherd that you're proud of, not complaining about. I just wonder when those 99 were left there in the wilderness, if somebody would have crept up and over and listened to the conversation that was going on, what they would have heard. I just wonder if there wouldn't have been an old ewe in there. E-W-E. And she's going saying things like, I can't believe he left again. He doesn't spend enough time with us. Doesn't he realize how important we are? Doesn't he realize how long we've been coming to church here? He just doesn't stick around here very much. I mean, here's 99 of us that have needs, and he has to go after them. I wonder if there was anything going on like that. If there was, Brother Jack, I think there ought to have been an old male sheep there. Maybe a deacon. That would have looked over and went, because they are supposed to be of good report, honest, filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom. That's what deacons are supposed to be. And maybe they look over and they'd say, hey, hush. Let me tell you something. We're fortunate. We're fortunate to have a shepherd that cares about the lost sheep. I mean, we're safe here. We're doing just fine. We're in the fold. We're okay. We ought to be worried about the one that's out there, not our little petty problems. Hush, woman. I think that'd be a good thing for some of you men to learn. Amen. And you know what, folks? If we're not careful, everybody in the church is more worried about their little problem and what they're getting out of the church and how much time the preacher's going to spend with them. Hey, I got an idea. Why don't you just come on out and help us look for lost sheep? You see, that's what the focus of the church has got to be. The command is, listen, go out in the highway and hedges and round them up. Jesus said, I'm not just going to say it. I'm going to go do it. And so he went out and he spent his life rounding up sinners. And made the Pharisees and scribes mad all the time, but he didn't care about what they thought. He was after lost sinners. And then his focus that he taught us was, folks, listen to me. I'm glad for the 99. I'm glad for the church. I'm glad for the congregation. And they do have needs, and we're aware of those needs. But folks, if all of our attention focuses inward and we lose the vision of looking outward, we're in big trouble here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you see. Amen, Brother Lester. Amen. I'd love to have the time to sit on the porch and drink tea with you. And I'll tell you what, when we get to heaven, I'll come by your mansion and we'll sit and we'll spend a couple thousand years together sipping tea and rejoicing over what God did at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But until then, why don't we just do all we can to reach lost people for Jesus Christ, you see. Now let me have you go to Revelation chapter 20. That part of the message was for Christians, and I hope you'll listen to it. I hope you'll pay attention to it. Folks, we need to hit a reset button. Some of you are in your own personal lives. Good people. You're good people, but you need to hit a reset button. You need to stop worrying about how the ministry affects you and what part you have in it. Whether or not you're a big enough shot around here, you just need to get focused back on lost souls. And everything will be just fine, you see. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11. Now let me have your hearts and I'll take the last 10 minutes and I'll talk to you about this subject. The last roundup. You know what? I don't have a horse to go out on the roundup. Don't have a horse to go on the roundup. We don't use horses to round up people. You know what? They don't give us a gun and a lasso because you know why? You can't make somebody get saved by force. You can't drag them. But God has given us something. I was sitting in the back window watching the vans and buses pull out this morning. And I said, you know what? We don't have a horse, but there they go. And they're going to go round some young people up. Try to get them in here to hear the gospel. We don't have a gun, but we got a King James Bible. We got the Romans Road. We got gospel tracts. Hopefully we've got a ready witness on our lips to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we ought to be involved in. You say, well, why is that so important? You say, Brother Jerry, I go out and I try it, and so many people don't listen, and so many people don't come, and I get so frustrated. Why do you keep after it? Why do you keep doing it? I mean, my goodness sakes, if you get 1 in 100, you're lucky. Let me tell you something. If I get 1 in 100, I'll go ahead and take 99 that don't want to hear it to find that one that does want to hear it. Let me tell you why. Because one of these days, there's going to be a last roundup. I went to a door yesterday and went to make a visit, and there was a man there that needs Jesus as his Savior. He's lost. He needs Jesus as his Savior. My heart breaks for this man. He's hard, hardened old sinner, calloused old sinner. And I tried to talk to him. He wouldn't even say a word to me. He wouldn't even answer to me. As soon as I stepped inside to start saying something to him about the Lord, I extended my hand. He just looked at it. I began to try to invite him to church and talk to him about the Lord. You know what he did? He just pointed back out the way I came and went like that and pointed. Now, listen to me. I can't make anybody get saved. I can't make them listen to the gospel. I can't drag them into the church. But listen to me. There's going to be a day when there's a last roundup. And let me tell you, every sinner will show up to that last roundup. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for him. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Folks, why must we be involved in the Lord's roundup? Because one of these days there's going to be a last roundup. See, there's going to be a day that God decrees to set upon his white throne of judgment, and he will at that time judge every Christ rejecter that has ever lived. And you know what? They could spend their life using God's name in vain. They can spend their life scoffing at the preacher and scoffing at the church. They can call us Billy Bible and Bible bangers and everything else they want to call us. But there's going to be a day when they stand before God. And you know what? They won't make an excuse when that invitation comes. They won't just choose not to come. They won't say, I'm going to sleep in, or I'm going to go out on the lake and I'm going to go fishing, or I don't need God. You know what? When God has this last roundup, every single person that died without Jesus Christ, and those that were lost when Christ came back, let me tell you something, every one of them will stand before God that day. There's going to be a huge roundup. Oh my goodness sakes, can you see the mass of people that stand before the white throne judgment? Can you see the millions upon millions upon millions that have lived on this earth since the time of creation, that never bothered to accept Jesus as their Savior, thought it was unimportant to listen to the gospel? Some of them, by the way, are religious folks. Some of them just got involved with a religion, but they didn't know anything about getting saved. They weren't born again. And you know what? On that last roundup, you know what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. That last roundup, every single one that has ever rejected Christ or failed to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're going to all stand before God that day. And the Bible says there that when they stand before God, it will be the small and the great. There'll be no place to hide. That heaven and earth will flee from them. There'll be no place for them to hide. Nowhere to hide. Some of them will be rich and some of them will be poor. Some of them will be famous. I listen to the Hollywood crowd. I read what they say, blasphemous statements they make in the paper. I read the articles about Madonna and her tours and how she on stage mocks the crucifixion of Lord Jesus Christ. I listen to the Ted Turners and the Jesse Venturas who laugh and mock at those and say that people that need religion are weak people. I listen to all that. Folks, that's just the latest crop of an endless crop of those type of people that have lived throughout history. And they can sit there with their money and their security and their private jets and their multiple vacation homes and act as if God doesn't exist and they don't need Him. But I guarantee you, on this day of the last roundup, they'll be standing right there with the poorest of the poor, waiting for their name to be called to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, the one they scoffed at and laughed at and mocked and tried their best to turn other people away from. I don't care how much money you have that day, it's not going to matter. I don't care how healthy you are today and how you might think you're invincible and you're going to live forever and you're never going to stand, but you're going to stand there that day. If you're unsaved, you're going to stand there that day. The Bible says that there are some books that will be opened, and I think that God keeps good records. God's going to say, open the book of their life. I want you to start and I want you to scan that book and read that book and let's see if there's any evidence of them ever receiving me as Savior. No, Lord, there's no record of that. Well, let's check the book of life. Is their name in the book of life? Every single person has ever bowed their heart, humbled themselves, and saw themselves as a lost sinner and cried out for a Savior, and were sincere and understood the gospel and asked Jesus to save them. Let me tell you something. There's no clerical errors in heaven. Every single person that's ever been saved, their name's been written in the Lamb's book of life. But on that day, not a one of them at this white throne judgment, not a one of them will have their names in that book. For over a million times and millions upon millions of times, the Lord's going to ask the same question. Is their name in the book? No, Lord. Is their name in the book? No, Lord. Is their name in the book? No, Lord. You know what? That last roundup, they're going to come. Well, they may drive by that sign out there. Ah, Roundup Sunday. Ha, ha, ha. Laugh it up on their way up to waste their time and money at a festival instead of going to God's house. They may make all the excuses they want to make. But on that day, you know what? There's not going to be any laughing. There's not going to be any mocking. Because the Bible says one by one when they're found guilty. And what are they guilty of, Brother Jerry? They're guilty of unbelief. They're guilty of never accepting Jesus as their Savior. One by one, the Bible teaches us that strong angels will come and bind them, drag them over to the edge of eternity. And up will come the door that seals the bottomless pit, the lake of fire, and they'll be cast in forever and ever. Folks, this is not fairy tales. This is not fiction. This is the words of Almighty God. Amen. The last roundup. Why do you have a roundup Sunday, Brother Jerry? Because we're trying to get lost people in to hear the gospel. Why do you go visiting so much, Brother Jerry? Why do you knock on doors? Why don't you spend more time sipping tea? I wish I could. I'll be honest with you. There's days I'd rather. There's lost people out there. There's people dying and going to hell. Somebody's got to look out on the fields and say, you know what? We need to do something about this. We need to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. We need to. What group of people is not being reached? How can we do better? What can we do more? I'm not asking, there's men in here that work more hours than I do, I'm sure. I figured up in the month of September, I average 74 hours a week. And you know, what are you doing? I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm out trying to get people saved. I'm out trying to get people in the church. A lot of that is spent in the office, and there's a lot of things to do around here. But let me tell you something. It's not my favorite thing to do. I'd much rather be on the street. I'd much rather be visiting folks. Listen, you come up here and take a look at my knuckles. You know what you're going to find? They're calloused. The day that you can go to shake a preacher's hand, he doesn't have calloused knuckles, then you know what? You probably ought to go look for another church. We have got to stay after souls. Why? Because one of these days there's going to be a last roundup. Thursday evening, Brother Andy, Thursday evening, I'd had a long week. You know what? Be honest with you, the fleshly human part of me wanted to just go home and sit down. But I talked to Andy on the Wednesday before that, and I knew God was working on Andy's heart. So I pulled my old bones up, put them in the car, drove over to his apartment, and you know what? We knelt together on the floor, and he received Jesus Christ as his Savior. And folks, I don't know where you find the time to sit and gripe and bicker and complain and nag and everything that you want to do. But you know what? Why don't you trade that in for soul winning? Why don't you get on a bus route? Why don't you go to a nursing home? Why don't you go to pick out a little town like Midland, like we did yesterday morning, me and the Walker family, and just knock every door in there until you find somebody that'll listen to the gospel. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Church, I know sometimes you have real problems and real heartaches, and you know what? Your preacher wants to be there to help you. I went and seen Mrs. Wilfong several times this week in the hospital. Mrs. Fulkerson, Gary's not in very good shape. There are a lot of people that's got a lot of heartaches. I understand that. They can't help those things. And you know what? I'm glad to be there. But let me tell you something. That's not the focus of this church. The minute all we do is focus on ourselves and forget about a lost and dying world, you can just write Ichabod on the top of the door back there, because we're the Spirit of God will have departed so fast. Whoosh! You would have felt the vacuum of Him leaving. We just painted another bus. Brother John, how'd it do today? Okay. Praise the Lord. When you pushed the gas pedal, this one actually went. Amen. Brother Klein came over Friday night, and I think him and Kyle lettered that bus and got it going. Brother John wanted to take it Wednesday night. I don't blame him. He wanted that bus. I said, talk to Brother Klein. Let's get the letters on the bus. And we were able to do that. And now it's out running. You know why? Because there's people in this church that sacrifice. People in this church that want to spend money to see people saved. That's why. People in this church that will visit on bus routes and run buses. Let's just keep doing it. Why, Brother Jerry? What drives you? Well, first of all, the Lord has commanded me to be a part of the roundup. That's why I got the hat on. He gave me the example by showing up Himself and say, watch me, watch me. Hey, write about what I do. Asked four men to write about it, and they did. You know what He did? He went after lost souls. That's what He did. And then you know what He did? He said, let me teach you a little parable so you don't get off track. Church is a wonderful thing, and a congregation is a wonderful thing. And it's wonderful. I preached it last week. To have a church family is a wonderful thing. But let me tell you something. We can get so much involved in the church family that we forget the purpose of our church, and that's to reach lost souls. What drives you, Brother Jerry? I keep thinking about that great white throne. I keep thinking about this question. Is His name in the book? Is His name in the book? No, Lord. Is His name in the book? No, Lord. How am I going to feel when my neighbor walks up there that's lost, that I lived beside for years? How am I going to feel if I never went across and tried to get him saved? Every single person that comes from Jasonville and the surrounding community that stands there that day, that lived the same time that I lived, I'm going to feel responsible for it. I've got to get the gospel for him. I'll end by saying this. I went and seen our mayor this week, and I'm asking for some help in this matter of getting the word out of our civil servants Sunday. I asked about his wife, and I've told you this story before. By the way, pray for Mrs. Clark. She has cancer, and she's fighting hard, but she's facing an uphill battle. And I told you this story a while back, but I heard it from Mrs. Clark. I was up there at the office several months ago, and she happened to be there. She was telling me about a friend that lived on the same street as her that had died unexpectedly. And she said, Pastor Jerry, she said, that lady never would respond as far as coming to church. I don't know if she ever went to church. And she never had a good thing to say about the Lord. Watch this. She said, I worried about it when I heard it, because my first thought was maybe, probably she's lost. Probably now she's in hell. Are you listening? Then she stopped and she said, I got a big smile on my face. And I said, you know what? Because her question was this. Did anybody give the gospel to her? Then she stopped and she said, I got a big smile on my face. And she said this. She said, you know what? My first thought was Blessed Hope Baptist Church. She said, you know what? I know that if she lived in the town of Jasonville for the years she did, dozens of times people from this church has come by and knocked on the door and either personally, by word of mouth, or left gospel literature at her door. She said, I know that she got the gospel because of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Folks, there may be a day, 25, 30, 40 years from now, I hope not, that people drive by this church in 30 or 40 years and look over and say, you know what, that church used to have a bus ministry. That church used to have a visitation program. That church used to run children's churches. That church used to have master's clubs. That church used to go after souls hot and heavy. I mean, that was the pulse. That was the heartbeat of the whole organization. Souls, 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 souls. And folks, listen to me. If we're not careful, the cancer of selfishness creeps in very slowly. Next thing you know, we're more worried about us than we are lost souls, and we can't let that happen here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We just can't. Well, there's going to be a roundup. One's going on right now. The Lord declared it. It's on until the rapture happens. I don't know how much time's left, but we need to get in the saddle and get busy. Are you listening? And if you're here without Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. The last roundup's going to happen. You don't want to be there that day. You want to make sure that you're saved. Make sure that you're saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to hearts this morning. Oh, my goodness, saints. Lord, we need a revival. We need a touch of revival even here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Help us, Lord, to live with the thought of the white throne judgment. The fact that we're going to be there, not to be judged, but to observe all that happens that day. Help us to plead with lost sinners. Help us to compel them to come in. Help us to work hard in the highways and hedges. Help us to go down the streets and the lanes. Help us to be constantly looking for and seeking lost souls. Oh, Lord, it's so important. This is Roundup Sunday. There may be one right here, Lord, that is lost. They've never been saved. And, Lord, we all were there at one time. Nobody's born saved. We're all born lost. We're all born sinners. We're all born hopelessly bound for hell. But Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would speak to their hearts this morning and make this the day of their salvation. May this be the day they get saved. Hell awaits those that won't accept you. Those that, Lord, either reject or neglect to receive you, Lord, hell awaits them. What a horrible thing. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Are you here today? And the honest truth is, if you were to die right now, you don't know for sure what would happen. Brother Jerry, you've been talking about hell and you've been talking about heaven. I don't know where I'm going to go when I die. Well, you can know that. You can know that. The Bible says these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. And in the Bible, it tells you how you can know how to be saved. And you could be saved today. Accept Jesus as your Savior. How many say, Brother Jerry, if I died right now, I'm not sure what would happen to me. But I'm concerned about it. I'm brokenhearted about it. I mean, I feel God working on my heart. There's something not right in my life. If I was to die right now, I'm afraid of what would happen. I'm afraid that there may be a day that I'm standing before God and my name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't remember ever being saved. Brother Jerry, I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? I won't embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you. I'm not saved. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. I see your hand. Somebody else, you can put your hand down. I'm not saved, Brother Jerry. I'm not saved. And I want to be saved. I mean, good night. I'm thinking about this. I need to be saved. Is there somebody else? You're not alone here. People love you here. People are praying for you. Would you raise your hand, Brother Jerry? If that last roundup happened today, I'm afraid I'd stand before God guilty. I've never been saved. Would you raise your hand? Thank you so much. I pray that you would have the courage in just a moment. Let me encourage you when we begin to sing. Would you, if you raise your hand, would you just step from your pew, come to the nearest aisle? This man here will get somebody to take the Bible and show you how to be saved if you'd like to be saved today, all right? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak to hearts this morning. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Lord, I pray that we didn't come just to observe this morning, or sat back and watch and look. I pray that we came to participate in what you want to do in this morning's message, this morning's service in our lives. Keep, Lord, before us a burden for souls. Keep us active in this matter of rounding up people for Jesus Christ. Keep us focused on what we ought to be focused on. Please, Lord. And I pray for this one that raised their hand, others maybe that ought to have. Maybe they were a little embarrassed. But I pray that you'd speak to their heart, Lord, and that during the invitation they'd step out, come up to the front. Let us take the Bible and show them how to be saved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.